The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Good evening. It is 13 minutes after the hour of 6 p.m. on this Friday, July 31st, 2020, and you are listening to the KTQA Daily Briefing. It is the end of July. It still feels like March to me and to a lot of other people. My name is Sam. Joining me is Becky. How are you, Becky?
I'm well, Sam.
Fantastic. So I've noticed that school things are creeping a little back into the household schedule a bit.
They are.
We haven't talked about it very much since school got out, but Becky is a public school educator. That's what she does when she's not helping me out with the radio station or with this tiny thrown together studio in our attic. But I'm noticing it's creeping in. Anything particularly interesting going on right now?
It is creeping in, which is to say that just because teachers aren't contracted doesn't mean we're not working and having that school year creep interrupt our summer. I think so many people are anxious to just know what things are going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of the districts around are having different kinds of webinars or community conversations. And as those are held, sometimes they lead to more questions than they answered, which is okay because we know that things are unfolding and this is a brand new way of doing education for so many of us.
Right.
But I'm excited to be looking at really buffing up our ways of communicating with families and students, because back in March, that was, you know, shoe dropped, there was crisis. But now we've got some time to prepare and better equip as many of our teachers and families and students as possible.
Well, I'm noticing that because before it was, we have limited laptops available for students who need them. Now it's, we are going to make sure every student, you know, every high school student has a laptop available,
mm-hmm.
which is a significant improvement over what we were hearing. Yay about March and April when they
right.
close the schools.
It's a significant improvement and it's a significant endeavor.
It is. So what have you been up to otherwise?
I read a book this week.
Okay.
And I think that it's really important and really nice to be able to break away from social media and other kinds of media. You know, we kind of consume ourselves with the media the data gathering that's required in order to do the daily briefing. So I'm encountering a lot of media, and it's nice to be able to turn off for about 6 hours and read a book.
Yeah.
Because most of the time when I turn off for 6 hours, it's because I'm sleeping.
Right.
So it was a book that you introduced me to, and I was happy for that.
Certain if you were going to talk about the book itself or just the need to read for oneself rather than for a purpose.
Reading for oneself is really nice because a lot of us are doing reading for improving our online education and teaching remotely and all kinds of things. And a lot of folks are being involved in some very heady reading, given politics and our social situations and circumstances. And so it was really nice to escape into a fiction book. And this mm-hmm. was sci-fi. It was Childhood's End by Arthur C. Clarke, and it was one that I hadn't read. And for someone that's a little bit of a slower reader, it was completely approachable within an evening. A long evening. But
an evening.
Yeah.
Well,
I thank you for that recommendation, Sam.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I was a little bit afraid you might, and it is one of my favorites.
You were afraid I might enjoy it?
No, you were I was afraid you wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah. It's definitely something to read with the lens of when it was written and the circumstances in which it was written.
I actually find it not nearly as bad in that respect as many other science fiction novels of the era. I actually think it stands up much better than others.
I would agree. And it does transcend a lot of the era in which it was written.
Yeah.
Just some antiquated language here and there, but the story is really imaginative. The style of writing is just interesting.
When somebody says antiquated language, they usually mean like bad language. And I don't think that was the case in this novel.
No, I don't think it was.
Yeah.
Just some turns of phrases that aren't super common within, you know, our current parlance necessarily.
Okay. I just wanted to make that clear.
Absolutely.
Speaking of reading, shall we get to today's updates?
We shall. Let's give those a read. State-level updates on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. The state's coronavirus Q&A line is staffed 7 days a week, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. at 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can also text the coronavirus Q&A line at 211-211 in any language. Dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way, and you can also visit wa211.org online. The Washington Listens support line is available from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on weekends to help Washingtonians cope with pandemic-related stress as a free service for those who are not in crisis but need an outlet to manage that stress. The number is 1-833-681-0211.
Moving on to state-level information, the state's Employment Security Department was expected to finish clearing the backlog of claims filed between March and June by the end of business today. Yesterday, the governor renewed and clarified protections for high-risk employees and workers' rights. Employers must accommodate workers who would be more highly vulnerable to the virus according to their age or condition. Workers who are 65 and older and workers who fall into one of the CDC's at-risk categories do not need to present medical verification to employers in order to qualify for workplace protections or emergency leave related to COVID-19. Individuals in the might be at increased risk category may legally be required by their employer to present verification from a medical provider to receive accommodations. The order remains in effect through the duration of the state of emergency or until otherwise rescinded or amended. The governor also announced that any personally identifiable information collected by COVID-19 case investigators, such as names, addresses, phone numbers, birth dates, email addresses, photographs, and identifying physical characteristics, will be protected from public disclosure through records requests. The proclamation does not apply to businesses that may be a part of infection contact tracing investigations. The Washington State Department of Labor and Industries has extended the deadline to pay workers' comp premiums until November 2nd for the second quarter of the year. First quarter premiums were extended until today, July 31st. Employers seeking to delay payment must apply for the second quarter relief, even if they receive payment extension for the first quarter.
We've got some news from around our region, a little bit further away from Tacoma. Payne Field restarted commercial passenger flight service today. The Space Needle up in Seattle is now open at limited capacity for visitors who must wear masks and abide by physical distancing guidelines. The Washington State Patrol is warning that those seeking recreation opportunities near Eagle Falls off Highway 2 will have their vehicles towed if they are illegally parked along the highway. Officials urge residents to recreate close to home, park in legal parking spots, and consider alternate plans if parking lots at recreation areas are full.
Moving on to Pierce County. Pierce County has fully opened North Lake Taps County Park with new amenities such as increased beachfront water access, an extended boat ramp, restrooms, and barbecue grills. Small businesses in Pierce County with up to 20 employees may be eligible for business relief loans. Information is available at piercecountywa.gov/relief loan.
We've got some school news. The University of Puget Sound is offering only remote instruction for the fall term. UPS students who are experiencing housing or food insecurity or are unable to participate in remote learning from their homes may be eligible to live in limited on-campus housing. The Evergreen State College in Tacoma is waiving the application fee for fall quarter 2020, which will be held via remote instruction. Those interested can email tacomaprogram@evergreen.edu or call 253-680-3005 and leave a message. Thurston County's health officer has recommended that school begin the fall term with remote instruction, limiting in-person learning to specialized groups of no more than 5 children at a time, and only when complying with all state and county health precautions. All public schools in Pierce County and most in King County are beginning the academic year with remote instruction. The private secondary schools Charles Wright, Annie Wright, and Bellarmine Preparatory are planning to offer in-person instruction.
Moving on to Tacoma, the Walk Tacoma Scavenger Hunt will take place August 5th through the 12th. Participants must register online at downtownonthego.org by August 3rd or in person at the Downtown On The Go shop located at South 11th and Commerce Street on Monday, August 3rd from 4 to 6 p.m. Those registered will receive details and clues for completing activities and answering questions related to aspects of our city, which you can find out on foot, on bike, or by using public transit, with the chance to win prizes as an individual or a team of up to 5 members. Everyone should wear a face mask and respect 6-foot distancing.
There are numerous free testing sites in our region. For Seattle locations, which have been expanded, visit seattle.gov or call 206-477-3977. For other King County locations, visit kingcounty.gov. For Pierce County locations, visit the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department website at tpchd.org/COVID test. This weekend and next week's mobile testing events in Pierce County include Saturday, August 1st, that's tomorrow, at Bonnie Lake High School, Tuesday, August 4th in University Place at West Pierce Fire and Rescue's lot at Drexler and 37th Street West, just south of Station 31. Wednesday, August 5th, the South Prairie Fire Department will hold walk-up testing at the station along Washington Highway 162 in Buckley. Friday, August 7th, the City of Ruston hosts walk-up testing at the lot at the corner of Park Avenue and North Winifred Street. And next Saturday, August 8th, the county will be in DuPont across from 1770 Civic Drive. All of those Pierce County mobile testing events run from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. No ID is required, and tests are free. Patients can also call their healthcare providers for tests.
Well, I think that's all the information we've got for today. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think the only thing I'd like to add is that it has come to light that the highest rate of COVID-19 infections is happening right now in our county and in our state. Amongst those that are age 20 to 24. So young folks, try and stay distant and wash your hands and be careful. Don't bring that bug home to your elders.
All right. Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org. You can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Now on to the interview.
I'm pleased this afternoon to be talking with Chris Stottinger. He is the operator of Pretty Gritty Tours, a tour company that's focused on Tacoma and the South Sound. How are you, Chris?
Excellent, thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
So during typical times, your company runs guided tours for like history buffs and out-of-town visitors. What have you been up to these days with the pandemic?
Well, we've decided to move everything virtually. Basically, once COVID happened, we pivoted pretty quickly to make sure that people would be able to access, you know, historical stories and information online.
You've got a real variety of themes to your tours, not just the historical, you know, information, but ghost stories and caves of southwestern Washington, beer, things like that. Who comes up with all of these different themes?
The short answer is I do. Occasionally, we will poll the audience to see what people are interested in, but I've always just tried to pursue things that I find interesting, and they seem to work. So we had that same approach with our walking tours, and we've continued it into our virtual content.
And how do you go about researching all those kinds of things?
You know, what I love about this job is that it's one part journalist, one part like private detective. And so as soon as we find something that really intrigues us as a company, I spend a lot of time an effort just going out, tracking down leads, talking to people, pouring through archives, trying to piece together the whole story that's either been told before or maybe has been neglected.
So going through archives, I imagine that might bring you to either the public libraries or some of the university libraries. What are you kind of finding there?
The Tacoma Public Library has been just a huge, rich resource for the majority of research that we've done in town. And I've had the privilege to work with a lot of the historians in the city of Tacoma itself. So there's always someone who knows something about something. And so if you can start to facilitate those relationships, eventually you can just talk to the people you know and they can point you in the right direction. And it's usually some forgotten stack of material in somebody's basement.
You said that it's one part private detective, journalist, researcher, and talked about those relationships. What's your background? What brought you into the world of giving tours?
I got my start as a video journalist, actually. I was a travel vlogger turned journalist. So I was doing just these really, I'll be honest, very low grade travel videos about my travels around the world with my wife. And then that turned into a career working for like USA Today, New York Times, Expedia. And then once we had children and really settled down in Tacoma for a period here, I got to switch my career of going out and essentially writing about other people's tours abroad and focus on being able to deliver our own tours here.
When you were settling down and having kids and starting and growing your family, you picked Tacoma, or were you a Tacoma native? What brought you here?
Well, I'm from the eastern side of Washington originally. I kind of grew up in Spokane, the Tri-Cities, Leavenworth, on this rotating spectrum there. But yeah, we absolutely chose Tacoma. Both my wife and I had gone to Pacific Lutheran University down in Parkland. We got to visit Tacoma, and it just ended up being, like it is for so many people, this mysterious, magical draw. There's something difficult to describe about Tacoma, but once it hooks you, you can't escape it.
I am reminded of when my spouse and I, who weren't yet married at the time, even came to Tacoma close now to about 14 years ago. And people said, oh, well, you think you're going to stay there? You think you're going to move again in another, 3 to 5 years? And Sam said, oh, this is Middle Earth. This is the Shire of the Middle Earth. Why would I go anywhere else?
It's so true.
I'm appreciating that magic and mystery that's there, but also a real like hominess. And are the folks that are partaking in your tours, are they Tacomans, or are they the out-of-town visitors? Or is it Tacomans that are showing around, the in-laws are coming or the cousins are coming from out of town?
You know, that's been the magic of this period, actually, is that before COVID, the real base of Pretty Gritty were people in Tacoma in basically within a 50-mile radius. You know, as a walking tour company, we sort of catered to either people staying for a couple nights in the area or people who lived here. And now that we've been able to go virtual, we've really been able to, get out to that audience that might not have been comfortable doing a walking tour or is from farther away. So we've really got to see the gospel of Tacoma go further out into the world.
Looking at it from an accessibility perspective, you mentioned folks that may not be super comfortable with a walking tour or maybe not even able to access a walking tour. Maybe they've got limited mobility, or at this time, some folks are wanting to continue to shelter as much as possible. So are you finding that folks are reaching out and connecting with you in addition to sort of attending your virtual tours?
I think my absolute favorite part about these virtual tours lately has been watching the community grow around it. Because we do them live, we live broadcast each of them. Just in the beginning, when the like opening slides are playing, I watch these people just checking in with each other. People that didn't know each other at all before, but now have met online through these tours, and they'll just like touch base with each other, catch up on what's going on before the tour actually begins. And it's really a delight to see.
That is fun and a really kind of neat and interesting and new dynamic. How are folks accessing the tours when you said that they're broadcast live?
Correct. Yeah. So we broadcast live both on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel.
Okay. So in that case, it should be accessible to those that just to have any kind of access to a web browser.
Exactly. We wanted to make sure that you didn't have to go through a pay gate or have any special software, or even if you didn't have a Facebook account, you could just go to the YouTube channel by plugging it into the browser and see it.
Definitely a really cool resource for those of us that may be a little bit antsy after going on, what, month four? Maybe something cool for kids that are learning about their own civic history or their own little city. I remember myself growing up, we had in our American literature class a 1 square mile project where we said, you don't have to look at the whole of history in a grand way. Look at the existence of our own town over the course of 200 years of what happened in this 1 square mile of our town. So maybe a good resource for families that are looking for something for their kids to be occupied with that, you know, might be still on YouTube, but maybe a little higher quality and educational than some of the other stuff that they might be finding on YouTube at this time. Chris, I wanted to ask and was wondering, is there a factoid about Tacoma or a handful of favorite weird little Tacoma trivia things that you've discovered since getting involved in facilitating tours?
Oh, man, that's almost impossible to answer, but I love the Tacoma Underground. Not many people know that because Tacoma's on a hill, they had to terrace the city. And so the uphill portion of every major downtown block has a vaulted section that runs underneath that sidewalk section there, just based on the way that they terrace the city. So there's this whole labyrinth of connected tunnels down there. I love Tacoma's rich history in always about to become the It City. It had a major silent movie film studio here for a period of time.
Wow.
It was in competition with Hollywood. It was the terminus for the railroad as it finally connected the country, East and West Coast, together for the first time. There's just so many things where Tacoma was about to become the greatest ever, and something happened, and then we've been left with the ghost of that success, but it hasn't been celebrated the way that it has other places.
Wow. I'm hoping that the pandemic here is not something that ghosts that leaves us with a ghost in this case at all. But that, you know, maybe we're on the edge of something that can come to fruition for real this time around. And I think that with so much of our downtown now really embracing the richness with museums, the university, you know, there's been 25 years of rebuilding, and maybe it's not so much getting to the almost point and then falling, but just that slow, gradual, steady, you know, sort of like the train climbing up the hill, or, well, me huffing it and hoofing it up the hill.
You know, I will say, I think actually those are the things, they shouldn't be seen as a tragedy at all. They've been the intrinsic success of Tacoma. And I think a great example is like Stadium High School, where that building was designed to be a luxury hotel for the Northern Pacific Railroad. And when they lost the money for that project, it never was opened as a hotel, but then was purchased and then turned into a high school. And so to have that exquisite historic structure given back to the people as a learning institution where these countless generations of kids have gone, I think is such a greater part of Tacoma than it would have ever been as a hotel. And I think you see that again and again here, where every time a plan goes sideways, it ends up being a greater thing for the city than we could have ever imagined.
I definitely like that perspective. Where can folks go to see either more about Pretty Gritty tours or the actual tours themselves on YouTube?
We keep all of our stuff online, so prettygrittytours.com. There's a virtual tours tab, so you can see all of our previous content. And then we broadcast basically every Wednesday and Friday from the Pretty Gritty Tours Facebook page and YouTube at Pretty Gritty Tours as well. And all of our content is free.
Sounds awesome. And family friendly?
for the most part. If it's not, we'll let you know in advance.
All right. Sounds good. Chris, anything else you'd love to share with KTQA listeners?
I hope that people find a way to keep on exploring while we're all sheltering in place.
Thanks so much, Chris. Chris Stoninger is operator of Pretty Gritty Tours.
You can dial 311 to connect to the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, or you can call or text us at 253-330-8821, and our website's daily.ktqa.org. See you on Monday.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.